Welcome to the Neighborhood Church Misawa Sermon Podcast. NCM is a multicultural church serving the English-speaking community in Misawa. For more information or to contact us, visit us online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.
How we view others is how we will view missions. If we see others through the eyes of Jesus, we'll begin to see missions through the eyes of Jesus. But if we really want to have God's heart, if we really want to see through his eyes and see what he sees and have a heart like the Father, we have to first understand the love of the Father for us. How in the world can we have a love for others through the love of God if we don't first understand how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, and how he desires to move in our lives? It's truly his heart for us, is that we would have his love, understand his love, sit and dwell in his love, and then allow his love to flow through us. We see this demonstrated, that his heart is for us to understand his love. We see it demonstrated throughout Scripture. From the very beginning, we see his heart. From the moment sin came into the world through Adam and Eve, he began infusing this heart of love, speaking hope of a Savior, speaking, reminding us of his love for us, speaking a language of love through salvation. We see it in the very beginning in Genesis 3, verse 15, and it says this, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." And I know every time that I bring this up in regards to the love of the Father, it's kind of like, well, it doesn't say anything about love in there. And it's kind of a weird verse that, you know, there's going to be enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. But he is what he's talking about. He's talking and he is giving a punishment to the serpent, because the serpent tempted Adam and Eve. The serpent tempted them to sin. And so God is saying, listen, you may have won for this little bitty moment, but it's not final. I am speaking a language of love that one day I'm going to send of myself, and I'm going to send a Savior, and I'm going to completely destroy whatever power you thought you had, Satan. I'm going to destroy it one day. And so it's this hope that one day we would be restored. Because when sin came into the world, and I know you've probably heard me say this before, and I know you probably already know this, but it's good to remind ourselves, right? When sin came into the world, we became separated from God. We became separated. Why are we separated? How does sin separate us from the Father? It's because the Lord, just as we sang today, he's holy. But what does holy mean? It means that he's pure. He's completely pure. Not like a little bit pure, not 97.5% pure, not even 99.9% pure. God is completely pure. He's completely separate. He is completely separate from us. And when sin comes into our lives, when sin came into the world, it now puts us separate from the Father. Because we can't be close to him in our sin. That's what Scripture says, that when someone is in sin, when sin comes in the world, he can't even be around it because he's pure. Sin cannot be around him because he's pure and his light pushes out the darkness. And so when sin came into the world, we were now severed and separate from the Father. It now pushed us far behind, pushed us away, and it separated us from the Father. But out of that verse, we see that hope that he would send Jesus. And the amazing thing is that, see, God didn't just send Jesus. He didn't just send someone far off. He gave of himself. He gave of himself for what we have done. And we see this in some of the most recognizable verses. We're going to read it. And, you know, I know we may know these verses. It's John 3, 16 and 17. And I'm sure many of you could probably just quote it out. But I want to encourage you that even in the verses that you already know, look it up in your word. Allow your heart to see it again. Allow your mind to receive it again. Allow your ears to hear it again. So it's in John 3, 16 and 17. And it says this, "For God so loved the world." Hear that again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the hope of the gospel. This is God's message to you. And I just as I think we hear these verses so often, we become accustomed to it. I mean, how many of us could probably rattle it off? Yeah, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him, right? We could just rattle it off, and we get so accustomed to it that we don't allow it to sink in. God wants it to sink into our hearts, whether we are one day with Jesus or a whole bunch of days with Jesus. He wants this to so resonate in our hearts that we would truly grasp onto it. God, the creator of heaven and earth, so loved you. You can just sit in that for a while. God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who spoke things into creation, the one who spoke all the details, the one who began it all, the one, the God over all creation, so loved the world. So loved the world. And see, John wrote these words. It's in the context of when Nicodemus was a Pharisee, well-known teacher. And in the middle of the night, he came to Jesus. And I think Nicodemus was just struggling. He was interested. And I think the Lord was just really drawing his heart to him, to Jesus. And so Nicodemus comes to him in the middle of the night because he's hungry. He wants to know what the salvation is about. He wants to know who Jesus is. This Jesus is so different from everything that he had ever experienced. And so he comes to him in the middle of the night and he begins asking him all these kinds of questions. And Jesus takes time to answer him. He didn't say, listen, my business hours are from 9 to 5. And so if you can come back, if you want to leave a comment, all right? So it's an encouragement for us to allow God to use us at whatever time of the day, right? And so he answers all of these questions for Nicodemus. And then John sums up everything that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. And he sums it up in these verses. This is the heart of the gospel. God so loved the world. I love it because it wasn't a specific people. He didn't say, God so loved the Jews. God so loved the Jews from Galilee. God so loved the Jews from Jerusalem, but not like the south, from the northern side. God so loved them. God so loved a specific nation. Praise God he didn't say that. God so loved a certain people group or a certain area. God, it's not what he said. He said, God so loved the world, which transcends all space and all time. He so loved you and I. God so loved Paul. God so loved John. And we see this because John, just everything he talks about is about the love of the Father and learning how to love God and learning how to receive God's love. But then it goes on, you know, if you think about it, God so loved Judas. God so loved Judas. It wasn't like he loved 11 and not so much the 12th one. God so loved Judas. God so loved Hitler. That one's a hard one, right? Or we can just make it modern day because none of us were alive during that time, maybe. And so God so loved all peoples. God so loves President Xi Jinping, this, that one. God so loved all of these different people. God so loves you and I that he gave of himself. That's the heart of it. His love is unfathomable. Unfathomable, which means it can't be measured. Can't even be imagined. What we think we know of the love of the Father, we can't even begin to grasp it. We can't. We read it and we allow God to speak his love into our lives. We allow him to move in our hearts, and yet we still can't grasp it because his love is unfathomable. It's impossible to comprehend. It's definitely impossible to measure. His love for you and his love for me is immeasurable. I pray that you hear that this morning because it takes into all the things that we think in human existence that makes us unlovable. Whatever it is that you think you're unlovable. No, God so loved the world. Unfathomable. Unable to measure it. Impossible to measure how much he loves you. And yet God did kind of measure in a way that we could understand. Because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. We're the ones in need. That always gets me. I sent, God gave. Man, what kind of trade-in can you get in this world that's anything like that? Where can you take a broken down mess and get something brand new? Nowhere. If you can, please let me know. We'll all flood there. No, but that's how God operates. He takes all of our mess and all of our junk and all of our sin. And because we sin, because he loved us so much, he said, I'm willing to give of myself. I'm willing to give of myself. You see, salvation wasn't initiated with us. Salvation was initiated with God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who made us, the one who wanted to move in our lives from the very beginning, the one who created it all. Salvation initiated with him. He's the one that created a way for us to have a relationship with him again. He's the one that started that path for us to be able to come back to him, to be able to make that happen. He's the one that that's the measure of love for you and I, that he gave himself for us. He didn't send someone else on his behalf. He didn't create someone to come. He gave of himself. He doesn't require us to jump through hoops for salvation. He doesn't require us to come clean for salvation, because that would be hopeless. We would all be in a mess, because there's not any kind of possible way that you and I can get ourselves to a place where we could deserve salvation. But that's not how he works. He saw we were in need, and he stepped in and gave of himself. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave because he loved us. And as I mentioned before, John wrote a lot about love in the Gospels and in his letters, or in the Gospel and in his letters. I think it's because he truly experienced the love of the Father. When you've experienced the love of the Father, you are able to communicate that well to anybody else, and it just kind of naturally comes out of you, because you've experienced love from him. And so we see this in John 15, verse 13. John 15, 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And in this, it says that Jesus calls us friends. And because of that, no greater love than someone who willingly dies for us. And that's what Jesus did. He willingly gave of himself. We deserve death. We deserve total separation from God. But because God loved us so much, no greater love could he ever give but than giving himself. In 1 John, in one of his letters, his first letter, 1 John 3:16, says this: this is how we know what love is. You want to know what love is? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So John says, listen, you want to know what love is? Here's what love is that Jesus died for you and I. In our sin, in our mess, God so loved the world that he gave. That's the heart of the gospel. In 1 John, in the next chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, it says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Wow. This is how he showed his love among us. That's how he shows his love among us, that he sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. And then verse 10 says, this is love, not that we loved God, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Atoning means that he took our place. That's love, that Jesus took our place. Why? Because he loved us. That's how we know. It's not that we loved him first. Praise God. Because we'd still be waiting. But because he loved us first, and he gave himself. Paul talked a lot about the love of the Father as well. We see this in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were still a sinner, Jesus died for you. You weren't even here. You weren't even alive. You haven't even begun to sin. And while that was not even happening, Jesus died for you. Why? For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave of himself. We were dirty and hopeless. He didn't command us to love him first, but he first gave of himself. God always does that. I love how he does that. He never calls us to do something that he's not willing to already do himself. When he tells us to love, it's because he first loved us. When he tells us to have mercy and grace, it's because he first had mercy and grace. When he calls us to give of everything we have, it's because he gave of everything he had. And so he calls us to have that kind of love. because he first had it. And so why did he give of himself? John explains it in the remaining portions of verse 16 and 17. We're going to read those two verses again. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, remember, sin separates. Sin separates us from the Father because he is completely pure, because he is completely holy. There's this show that we watch sometimes. It's Homesteaders Rescue. Homestead Rescue? Yeah, I think so. It's on Discovery, I think. And so it follows this family, the Rainey family, and they're originally from Alaska, and they just naturally lived this kind of self-sufficient wilderness lifestyle, just a crazy bunch of family members. But then they travel around the country, around the United States, and they help other families that are really wanting to kind of that homesteader's life, the self-sufficient, having their own produce and having their own animals and their own water and all that kind of stuff. And so they travel around. But recently, they have this new show that follows the Rainey family there in Alaska and on their property and how they're building it up. Well, it's really interesting to watch them. The dad, he just takes all the risks, right? He takes all the risks. And when I say all the risks, he's willing to do any and everything. He's always out there on the front and doing all the crazy stuff. Well, we've watched them where they had their property was kind of in the valley. Well, in the valley, and especially in Alaska, if you're trying to grow produce, it's just not going to happen because you get sun like, 20 minutes a day, basically. And so they realize that there's a different section on their property that's higher up and it gets more of the sun. So they began building a cabin up there and building everything that they would need on that side. The difficult part that is in order to get everything where they had their home in the valley over to the upper side, up higher where they wanted to build their new cabin, they had to cross a river. Well, this river is not like a little creek that's barely running. It's full on rapids. And a river in a normal warm weather is crazy enough to try and cross. Well, you add Alaska into it, and it's just crazier, right? And so we've watched him try and, in the summer, he took his big, huge truck trying to take a propane tank on the other side, and the truck, as the rapids are flowing through it, it begins to fall over, and I mean, it's just crazy watching them, and we just hang on knowing, well, they haven't canceled the show, so we know they're still alive. And so we watch them trying to get across, and then in the winter, trying to get more of the supplies across the river, as they're navigating all these huge, massive, gaping holes where the river has frozen except for where the rapids are running through. And so there are these huge holes, and he's trying to navigate in this big truck, and the truck begins to fall through the ice, and he almost falls through the ice a couple of times. I mean, he's this big, burly guy, and he comes out in tears because he realized he almost died in that moment. And so when we're sitting there watching it from the comfort of our home and on the couch and the warmth, we're going, what they really need? I mean, why are they trying to do this? What they really need is a bridge. They need the strong bridge that's going to take all of their supplies from one side of the river to the other. Why in the world don't they just do that? It's because we're sitting on the comfort of our couch, right? Where we're in safety and we don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. But really, that's what a bridge does, and that's what Jesus became for us, because the sin separated us and we can't span the gulf of our sin to get back to the Father. And yet Jesus came and he said, I'm willing to be the bridge. Because it's too dangerous for you to try and get across this. It's never going to happen. In fact, you're never going to make it. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to get it right. You're never going to be able to get rid of your sin. But I can come and stand in between. And I can bridge the gap for you in your life. And I can bring salvation. And that's what Jesus did for us. That's what John was talking about, is that when we come to him, anyone who believes in him, we can have eternal life. We can have forgiveness. We no longer have to be separated from the Father. We no longer have to sin in our sin. Jesus came and made a way for us to have a relationship with the Father again. Praise God that Jesus was willing to give of himself. Praise God that he was willing to give of himself. He became that bridge for us that made a way for us to come back to him. That's why he sacrificed. That's why he did what he did, so that we could have a relationship with him again. For God so loved the world that he gave of himself to bring us back to the Father. That is love. You are loved this morning. You're loved. God loves you. God loves you. May it sink deep down into your heart. I pray that it does. And I pray that the Holy Spirit just allows it to really marinate in your lives, that you are loved by the Father. And once we begin to understand how much we're loved and the great feat that Jesus did in coming here and bringing salvation and dying for us when he suffered and he died and he resurrected so that we could have salvation, once we begin to understand that for ourselves, it begins to transform how we see others. Because we begin to realize that not only Jesus loves us, but he loves others too. It's not just about us. It is about us, but it's not just about us. That he loves us so much, but he loves the world so much. And if he gave of himself for us to have salvation, he gave of himself for others to have salvation too. And when we truly grasp that, it begins to transform all we do. It begins to transform everything we say, all of our actions, all of our behaviors. It begins to transform our prayer life. It begins to transform how we see others. It changes and brings health into our understanding of our relationships. And so we see these commands that Jesus gave, because Jesus did command us to share the gospel. It's not a suggestion. It's not a, well, if you have time kind of thing. He commanded us. It's our duty. It is our, God asks us to do this. He commands us to do this. And we see it written in two different ways. And the first one is in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, as Jesus was talking with his disciples. And he was telling them that, listen, this was towards the end, some of his last words, some of his final words. And he was like, listen, you need to go into Jerusalem and you wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, because here's what I'm calling you to do. Mark 16, 15 says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world, not just your own little world, but go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, we see it written this way. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the command that we have been given. It wasn't just a disciple command. It's not just a pastor command. It's not a missionary command. It's not a teacher command. It's not a worship leader command. This is a command that each and every one of us has been given. Our charge, our command God has given us is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and teach people to follow him. And there is a promise with it. He would never leave us. He would never forsake us. And by the authority and power that Jesus has, he then pours himself into our lives so that we can be empowered to do what he's called us to do. But all of this truly comes from having this understanding of the Father. When we've had the love infused into our lives, we automatically want to do whatever we can to love the Lord. Like it's a command, and he's given us this command, but if we've truly understood the love of the Father for our own selves, we will want to. Why? Because we love him. Why in the world would I want to withhold the love of the Father in someone else's life? Why in the world would I not want to share what God has done in my heart when I have encountered and experienced the love of the Father? I was thinking this morning as we were seeing the Where You Are, and I've never felt a love like this before. And I just immediately began thinking about Paul. You know, we see Saul before he was Paul, and he was going around. He was a terrorist. I mean, he was going around and arresting and persecuting and beating and killing Christians, killing believers. And what happened to him? He encountered Jesus. It wasn't just an appearance, and that's what transformed him. He encountered the love of the Father in that moment, and he was completely transformed. And out of that, because he had an experience with the love of God, He was a world changer. But that's not just what God wants in Saul's life to transform him and to make him into a world changer. That's what he wants for your life and my life. He wants us to be so impacted by the love of God that we are not only changed in ourselves, but we then begin to share the gospel with others. And all of this happens when we begin to spend time in his word. Always goes back to this, right? It's because it's true. All of this happens when we get into the word of God and we see his heart for the world. We see his heart for us. It begins to change how we begin to think. When we spend time in prayer and we not only pray for ourselves, but we pray for others, God begins to infuse the love for others all the more. It all works together. When we begin to do that, Trinity, would you put that picture from the missions? It was the last family picture where they're holding the bucket. Would you mind putting that up there? As I was sitting here looking at this picture, you know, God wants us to be able to look at people through his eyes. And so I know that we could just look at them in this like, oh, you know, well, they dress a little different and they got this bucket and they're, you know, they're really excited. But God wants us to look at them through his eyes and see that these are four people that he died for. To see that these are four people that he so loves, to see that these are four people who may or may not know Jesus, that maybe this is now an opportunity for them to receive the gospel. But all of that happens because we have gotten into the word of God and we understand his love for us. And then we begin to understand his love for others. And out of that, it just begins to be natural. That's what the Lord wants to do in us, that we would have such a healthy relationship with his love and with missions that it just flows out of us. That it flows, it naturally comes out of us, that we begin to see people as he does, that you would begin to see your neighbors. Guys, sometimes just take time and maybe stand at your window, and you can be the creeper and it's okay, who cares? And you just stand at your window and ask the Lord to give you a heart for your neighbors. Ask the Lord to help you have an understanding, the weight of it, of them not knowing Jesus, and allow that to sweep over you because it begins to change how you respond. It begins to change how you look at them. God loves the world. God loves the people in Japan. Praise God. God loves the people in North and South Korea. God loves the people in China. God loves the people in Canada and Bolivia and the United States and Puerto Rico and all these different, why we could just call it all the nations. God loves them so much that he desires to pour out his Holy Spirit. He desires for salvation to come to them. But the thing is that the task falls to us. The task falls to us. And we see Paul write about this in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so he's saying, listen, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how in the world are they ever going to hear about salvation unless someone goes and tells them? Unless someone goes and shares it with them? And then he says, well, how can anyone go unless they're sent? God sent you. We just read that, right? So you've already been sent. Now the job is to go and share the gospel. Now the job is to go and share so that others can come to know Jesus. It falls to us. People cannot hear unless we tell them. Our actions, yes, they are a good example. They will show the love of the Father, but the gospel requires conversation. The gospel requires words, which means it requires us sharing and telling others about Jesus. And the amazing thing about not only sharing the gospel where you're at, God's placed you where you're at for a reason. God's given you neighbors and coworkers and whatever, people who don't know Jesus for a reason. And then he's placed you in the middle of it. Why? Because he wants you to share the love of Jesus with others. But then as we can also pray for the lost around the world, and we can give. That's why we do that. We pray for the lost. We give so that others can know Jesus. We can't go to Lithuania or Romania, or we can't go to Kenya today, but we can pray and we can give so that others can go there and share the gospel of Jesus. And you see, Paul had this intense passion for the Father and for others to know Jesus. We see it displayed in his writings, just like the ones that we just read. But one passage that just kind of has resonated in my heart so much, and I remember when I first read it, it just didn't make sense to me. But the closer you get to the Father, and just the more of I've asked, Lord, help me to understand this, is in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Romans 9, 1 through 3. And Paul said, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. See, Paul, you read this, and he had such a deep sense and love and urgency and passion, not only for Jesus, but for the lost, so much that he said he was in anguish. He was in anguish because there was people who didn't know Jesus. And then he goes on and he says, I love them so much. He had such this deep passion. He said, I wish that I could trade my salvation so that they would come to know Jesus. Now, this is not something that he literally meant, because in the verses before that, he says that nothing can separate us from the love of the Father. So he wasn't literally wanting to separate himself eternally from God, but he had such this deep love for God and a deep love for the people that he was saying, listen, here's my heart's cry. Whatever it would take for them to come to know Jesus, that's what I would want to happen. His heart so beat with the heart of Christ, so beat with the heart of the Father that he loved them and he wanted them to come to know the Lord. And everything begins to change when we have that heart, a heart that willingly says, everything I have, all that I am, all of my resources, all of my abilities, all of my time, everything of mine, Lord, is yours. It's not mine. I don't own it. So God, you have your way. I am simply yours. Would you use me and move through me, God, in any kind of way, Father? I am yours. That we would have that sense of urgency. Guys, the closer we get to Jesus's return, he said, I'm coming back. And so the closer we get, the more that we need to have this sense of urgency that he is coming back and that it's our job and our task, that there are people who will die and be eternally separated from God. I don't know that that fully sits with us until we begin to have his heart, that there are people who will be forever separated, and our job, that we would have that sense of urgency to share the gospel with others. So we have to be prepared at all times to share the love of Jesus with anyone who God brings, opportunities that may come at just random times. I was reading this story about this guy. His name is Andrew Meekins, and he was an elder with the International Evangelical Church in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And he was on a hijacked jet that ended up crashing in 1996 near the Comoros Islands. And one of the survivors told the story about him. There were a few survivors of the crash. And it said that after the pilot had announced that they were going to have this emergency landing, his first aim wasn't to secure himself and put the mask on, all the things, right, that we're told to do. His first thing that he knew he needed to do, that there were people who were on their way to death. And so he stood up and he began to share the gospel. And one of the survivors said that as he shared the gospel, the plane's going down, right? He wasn't thinking about how he could preserve himself, but he knew that it was important for people to hear the love of Jesus. People began to get saved, and one of the flight attendants got saved. Several of the people on the plane got saved, and some of them ended up passing, and so we know that forever they'll be in the presence of Jesus. But he didn't sit there and think about, well, I'm not quite ready, and I don't have my notes, you know, I don't have my notes ready, and what in the world am I going to say, and oh, I don't know, maybe I'll be able to survive this. So I'm just going to put on my belt and I'm just going to worry about me. He didn't do that, but he was ready in season and out of season. And he had such a love for the Father. I mean, you have to have a love for God if you're willing, when the plane's going down, to stand up and preach the gospel instead of worrying about your own self. But because he knew he was secure, he was willing to sacrifice of himself. But that's that ready in season, having that sense of urgency, coming through that healthy relationship with the Father, that we would see others as he sees them, that we would see ourselves through his love, but that we would see others as he sees them, that we'll do whatever it takes to help those around us, whether they're near or far off, come to know Jesus. Begin to see your resources and your methods, your abilities as a method for bringing the gospel. If you'll begin to see that, You'll begin to see your resources and your finances as a way to bring the gospel. You'll begin to see your talents and abilities. Jerry shared some of his abilities with us this weekend with the worship team. And I told him, I was like, you could just make a business out of this. And his heart was, no, I want this to fund missions. I want to build up the body of Christ. And so he has this amazing gift and this abilities and all of this time and years that he's devoted into it. And he could, I promise you, there's a, in Baytown, in our home church, there's one of the Leland band members, and he'll come to the church and he'll set up the soundboard. And every time he does it, it's $1,000. So it's a huge, expensive business for what Jerry did for us yesterday. But if, when you begin to see your resources and your abilities and all that you have as an opportunity to share the gospel, it changes everything. You no longer look at that ability as some way to make yourself bigger. You look at it as a way of, how can I bring the gospel to someone else? How can I see missions advance? How can I see the church of Jesus advance? How can I pour myself into others so that the gospel will go out? And so it brings us back to these verses in John 3. Do you understand God's love for you today? Do you have salvation in him today? There's no better day than today to receive salvation. Or maybe it's that you need to be renewed. Maybe that you've been struggling or you've walked away or whatever it is in your life. The Lord still says, for God so loved the world that he gave himself for you and I. Don't try and cross the river. Don't try and cross the river on your own. Don't try and fix yourself on your own. Don't try and make it better on your own. You will fail every time. Come to the Father who freely gave of himself. Or maybe it's that you have salvation, and so maybe it's the healthy relationship with missions and having that, the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the heart of the Father, that our heart would beat like Jesus, that we would see others as he sees them. Do you have an urgency in your heart for the lost? Do you have an urgency in your heart for the lost that you would willingly stand up on a plane that's crashing and share the gospel? Does it drive you? Does it compel you to share the gospel with others? Does it compel you to pray for the lost? Does it compel you to give so that the lost can come to know Jesus? If it doesn't, then the Lord desires to work and infuse that in your life. God desires to infuse compassion and love and urgency into our hearts. If I can get the worship team to come. God desires to infuse that into our lives. But it simply takes us responding and saying, yes, Lord, I want your salvation. Yes, God, I want to be set free. Yes, God, I want to have your heart. Yes, Lord, I want to think of missions and the lost as you do. Yes, God, would you do that in me?
Thank you for listening to the Neighborhood Misawa's Sermon Podcast. If you need prayer, email us at neighborhoodmisawa@gmail.com or online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.